Chapter 6. The City of Gold and Lead. One of the others saw it first and cried out, and we jostled each other to look. It rose beyond the edge of the ruins, a ring of dull gold standing against the gray of the horizon, surmounted and roofed in by an enormous bubble of green-tinged crystal. The wall was more than 3 times as high as the tripods, smooth and unbroken. The whole place, although resting solidly on the earth, seemed strangely unconnected with it. Some distance from the point for which we were making, a river bubbled up from under the shield of gold and flowed away toward the mother river behind us. The eye, following its course, could almost imagine that the city was not there at all, that if one looked hard enough, the illusion would vanish, and there would be just the river running through ordinary fields. But it did not vanish. The wall rose higher as we approached, becoming more awful and forbidding. The sky grew lighter. From one instant to the next, the sun broke through the mask of clouds. Sunlight glistened on the ramparts, reflected from the crystal roof. We saw a great band of gleaming gold, on which flashed a titanic emerald, and I saw a narrow slit of darkness which widened. A door opened in the seamless wall. The first of the tripods marched through. What happened as our tripod entered the city was something for which I was completely unprepared. I felt as though I had been struck a savage blow, but a blow that contrived to hit me in every part of my body at the same time, a blow from the front, from behind, most of all from above, smashing me down. I staggered and fell, and saw my companions do the same. The floor of the compartment pulled us as though it were a magnet, and we were flakes of iron. I struggled to rise, and I realized it was not a blow, but something different. All my limbs had turned to lead. It was an effort to raise my arm, even to twitch a finger. I strained and stood up. I was carrying a tremendous burden on my back. Nor on my back alone, on every square inch of bone and muscle in my body. The others followed suit. They looked puzzled and frightened, but they still did not look unhappy. After all, what the tripods wished on them was good. It must be. There was dim green light. It was as though one were very far down in a thick forest or in a cave under the sea. I tried to make sense of it all, but could not. The weight on my body bowed my shoulders. I straightened myself up, but felt them sag again. Time passed, and we waited. There was silence, and heaviness, and greenness. I tried to concentrate on what must be the most important thing, that we had achieved our first objective and were inside the tripod city. One must have patience. It was not, as Julius had pointed out, my most outstanding quality, but I had to cultivate it now. Waiting would have been easier without the dimness and the crushing weight. It would have been a relief to say something, anything, but I dared not. I shifted my feet, seeking a stance of greater ease, but not finding one. I had been looking at the door on the inner wall, but it was the other that opened, swinging back and up with a faint whirring noise. There was still nothing to be seen outside, just a high, dim green. A tentacle came in and lifted one of my companions out. I realized that it must be able to see, independently of the hemisphere. Might it still be that the tripods themselves were alive? That we were the captives of living and intelligent machines? The tentacle returned. This time, it took me. It was like a hall. Long and narrow, but of enormous size, probably 80 feet high and 2 or 3 times that in length. I saw that it was a kind of stable for tripods. Against one wall, a long row of them stretched away into the green dusk, faintly illuminated by hanging globes that gave a dim green light. Their hemispheres rested close against the wall, far above us. Those in which we had traveled were unloading their human cargo. I saw Fritz, but did not speak to him. we had agreed that no contact should be attempted until the first stage, whatever that proved to be, was safely over. One by one, the others joined us. At last, the tentacle hung limp and inactive. A voice spoke.